journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass dissent.
These are weapons of mass dissent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Wednesday, October 22nd, 2008, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
The Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky on the World. We'll spend the hour hearing from the foremost political critic in the United States. It's on the elections, the economy, and a lot more. This is Uprising. Good morning and welcome to Uprising. And I'm back from a couple of days sick leave, and we are, of course, still in the fun drive. Definitely need to make up a lot of ground, but I hope a lot of you are, of course, listening to KPFK, pledging to the station if you haven't already done so. You know, it's a very, very important time for us to keep the station alive. And also, what's really, really important is that you stay tuned to this station as we approach the elections. Next week on Uprising, we have a lot of programming planned for you, including interviews with Margaret Atwood, who is a wonderful, wonderful writer, about her new nonfiction book called Debt. And it's about debt and the concept of death. We also have an interview with the author of a brand new book scheduled for next Friday, called Thanks But No Thanks, A Voter's Guide to Sarah Palin. And we have an interview scheduled with Cornel West about his brand new book. That's what's coming up next week, and it's very exciting. So it's time for us to wrap up this fun drive. It's time for us to get it done this week. And it's really important that we, you know, pay attention to the issues in the election and the news as well. Well, with less than 2 weeks until the 2008 presidential election, a new CNN Reuters Zogby telephone poll that was released yesterday shows Barack Obama opening an 8-point lead over his Republican rival John McCain in the wake of Colin Powell's political endorsement. The poll also found statistical gains for the Obama campaign among Republican and independent voters. Indeed, in recent days, I've personally spotted several Republicans for Obama buttons. As both candidates expect the race to tighten in the coming days, philosopher, linguist, political activist, author, and lecturer Noam Chomsky has said in a recent column in the Irish Times that the U.S. has, in essence, a one-party system. And trying to get over a cold, so I've got a little bit of a cough today. According to Chomsky, the ongoing financial crisis on Wall Street underscores the lack of a functioning democracy. Neither major party, in his estimation, has addressed core fundamental issues in the nation's economy in the course of their campaigns. So following those sentiments, the professor emeritus of linguistics at MIT has acknowledged minor differences between the two major parties and encouraged voters to consider those differences, especially in swing states. In an interview with the Real News Network, Chomsky suggested voting against McCain and for Obama in battleground states, but without illusions about Obama's slogans of change, reminding readers and of the true nature of democracy. He concluded that progressive legislation and social change has come historically in this country by popular struggles waged on a daily basis, not merely by voting every 4 years. Noam Chomsky's critical voice is more necessary than ever today, no matter who wins on November 4th. Today will mark Chomsky's upcoming 80th birthday on December 7th, by hearing him in his own words. The Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky on the World, is a brand new DVD released by Docurama, which takes a comprehensive look at the influential public intellectuals' analysis on a variety of issues through a series of candid interviews, lectures, and classroom discussions, in which he traces the entire arc of 20th century American politics from 1920s public policy to 9/11. More importantly, he sketches a history of grassroots resistance and struggle that he claims has contributed to the civilizing of America. Well, today we're going to be listening to this particular to excerpts from this particular DVD, and we'd like to start with one excerpt very shortly of the from the DVD. We're having some technical trouble, unfortunately, with the sound, so please do bear with me. But as you're listening, this DVD is available for a pledge of $100 at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. It's called the Chomsky Sessions Noam Chomsky on the World. And we'd like to play you an excerpt of his DVD. It's a bunch of articles, it's a bunch of speeches and interviews, and he does talk about the election, he talks about democracy, he talks about the economy, and we're going to have to go to a short break right now because we're having trouble, unfortunately, with the CD. So as you're hearing me hesitating, it's because we're trying to figure out a problem with the CD that we prepared for this interview. So please do bear with us. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll bring you Noam Chomsky.
Hello, citizens. This is Roseanne Barr reminding you that the price of liberty isn't just eternal vigilance. It takes money to stay on the air. When that money comes from big corporations, you better believe they want their agenda served. Well, the good folks here at KPFK aren't having any of that, which is why you don't hear annoying commercials all day long. We don't need to hear sold-out gas bags spinning the same old recycled rhetoric and trying to convince us that it's common sense. We need to support KPFK by picking up the phone and pledging $50, $500, or $5,000, whatever you can afford. Just call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Please, don't sit there thinking you can't make a difference. Let freedom ring. Make the phones down here ring. Please call 818-985-KPFK now.
And I definitely want to echo that. We definitely need to make a lot of donations this hour add up. We'd like to reach the $1 million mark. Let's take a listen to Noam Chomsky. This is from this brand new DVD. It's a collection of his speeches and interviews. It's called the Chomsky Sessions. Here, Noam Chomsky talks about democracy.
I think democracy is a great thing. Here I oppose the mainstream of opinion, which is opposed to democracy. They think we shouldn't have democracy. That's what I was indicating in that little historical excursus from Madison to the present, right through the progressive opinion. They don't want democracy. They want polyarchy. That is a system of, again, elite decision and public ratification. And then the spectators, namely the great beast, go back and do something else. I'm not in favor of that. I think democracy would be much better. Here I agree with the great majority of the American population, and in fact the great majority of the population of the world, who do not believe that their governments represent them. Actually, if you want to know some data on this, the World Economic Forum a couple of days ago released an international poll, Gallup organization and others, in which they asked people around the world a whole lot of questions, one of which was, do you think your government represents you? Okay. In North America, it was about 40%. The majority said the government doesn't represent us in North America. And the actual number is far lower, we know from more detailed polls, because when people are asked that question, do you think your government represents you, they tend to give the answer that they learned in an eighth grade civics class. So that comes out reflexively. On the other hand, if you push the questions further, you find that it's much worse. So about 80% of the U.S. population, when asked further questions, says the government I'm quoting, the government works for the few and the special interests, not the people. It's around 80% it was about a steady 50% until the Reagan years, when it went up to 80% and stayed pretty steady. That's the more democratic countries. The same is happening in Latin America. So in Latin America, there's a lot of talk about the great victory of democracy. And in fact, people want democracy. But if you look at the poll results, which are taken regularly, faith in the existing democratic system has been declining steadily because people know it isn't working. And the reasons for that are pretty clear. The so-called wave of democracy came along with neoliberalism, which undermines democracy. Can't have them both. In fact, it's almost designed for that purpose. So as the neoliberal programs are extended, the recognition that democracy isn't working for us increases. And it's now even gotten to the point where roughly half the population in Latin America says they'd even accept military dictatorships. If you know anything about the history of Latin America, you know what that means. That's pretty brutal. Not that they don't want democracy. They do want democracy. So the answer to the question, the statement about democracy being not perfect but the best thing we have, that's Winston Churchill. The trouble is that Winston Churchill, like others, didn't like democracy. So what we ought to do is develop democracy, that is, popular participation in decision-making all across the board, you know, economic and workshops and factories and schools, every institution, and certainly in the political system. But that's precisely what people have been fighting for hundreds of years, and elite and power centers have been trying to block. So continue fighting for it. I don't see the problem. We should try to achieve democracy. It's a good thing to achieve, but you've got to struggle against concentrated power for that.
And that's the voice of none other than Noam Chomsky, certainly recognizable anywhere. He will be in his 80th year this December 7th. He's turning 80 years old. It's amazing how long he's been around as this amazing voice of critique, of truth, and just this amazingly salient analysis that he brings to the table. We're very excited today that we are presenting to you a brand new DVD that we have not yet presented on Uprising. In fact, it's only the second time it's being offered on KPFK. As we are approaching the end of the fund drive, we wanted to bring this DVD out to you. In fact, we didn't even know about it since it's so new until after the fund drive started. So the DVD is available for a pledge of $100. It's called The Chomsky Sessions. And here you heard him talking about democracy, so important in this time with less than 2 weeks to the elections, with, of course, polls showing that Barack Obama is likely to win, but so much work left to be done no matter who wins on November 4th. Noam Chomsky's voice is, as always, educational, and this particular DVD covers a variety of issues from the economy to, of course, the electoral system and democracy to grassroots struggles all over the world. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call, 818-985-5735. Joining me now in studio, another Chomsky fan, and my friend and colleague, Alan Minsky, senior producer here at KPFK.
Yeah, I work at KPFK. My life was changed. This is a very banal story in terms of my life. I was working working on scripts in the, you know, Hollywood type of thing, and I was frustrated with something I'd written that was getting completed, and unbeknownst to myself, I was, you know, maybe thinking I wanted to do something else. And I went to the Los Angeles Public Library, and I checked out a then video, a large package of video called Manufacturing Consent, a film about Noam Chomsky. I'd seen it before. I thought it was brilliant, but I knew it was the type of thing you'd turn to again and again. Very relevant here when we're talking about Chomsky, stuff you want to turn to again and again. So I checked it out, and I went back to my place, and I threw it on the video. And by the end of that thing, I had convinced myself that if I was going to really be true to my heart, what I wanted to do with my understanding of society and politics was work to create real free speech media. And not too many years later, I found myself working in an appropriate place called KPFK Radio.
You know, Alan, I have a very similar story of political awakening with Noam Chomsky. Two pieces of work that have contributed to my political awakening, Zinn's book, People's History of the U.S., and Manufacturing Consent, based on the work of Noam Chomsky and Edward Herman. He's such an influential figure. He turns 80 this year. We're very excited to be presenting you this DVD. In fact, let's just shut up and let Chomsky speak. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call if you want to pledge $100 for the DVD. And in this next excerpt, Chomsky says we don't actually have a capitalist system in the United States.
We don't have capitalism. There's nothing remotely like it. We have some variety, various varieties of state capitalism, including the USSR. That was one variety of state capitalism. It was based on wage labor, on management control, central coordination of production. In fact, it's in many ways very much like corporate capitalism, just this different kind of organization. So of the various kinds of state capitalism that are around, which are the best? I don't honestly think that's the kind of question we should be asking. Like in the suppose you're in the 18th century, should you be asking which is the best kind of feudalism? I mean, that's all it was, you know. So which is the best kind of feudalism and slavery and monarchy and so on and so forth? It just wasn't the right question. I mean, the right question is there something better, like, say, parliamentary democracy, even though there were no examples of it? And there were seeds of it, but there were no functioning examples. I mean, seeds of it had been developed and usually crushed, as in England, but these were legitimate struggles. And, you know, they succeeded. I mean, by now you have parliamentary democracies, which aren't fantastic, but are better than feudalism. Can you have, worker self-management in industry? I mean, I don't know of any law that says you can't, you know, law of nature that says you can't, or law of history. And I think that'd be a lot better than management control. Can you have something better than the state capitalist institutions that we have? Yeah, we can design lots of others. In fact, we can go back to the workers in the mills in Lawrence, Mass., who took for granted that those who work in the mills should own them and should run them, and should run them democratically. Is that so outlandish? And you can say the same about communities and so on. So why just take for granted that the forms of authority and... You could say the same about sexism and racism. I mean, every society that I can think of has significant forms of sexism and racism. But we don't therefore ask, well, which is the best one of those? None of them are the best ones. We want to get rid of those tendencies. So I just question whether that's the right way to think about it. I'm not smart enough to imagine what a utopia is for all the different kinds of human beings in the world with their different interests and concerns and what they like and what they hate and so on and so forth. I mean, they should have all kinds of possibilities. And I don't know what they are. So I don't think we can ask the general question, what's the best system? I mean, there are people who think they can ask that. I can't. We should say, well, what do we do about this problem? Like, take the problem of management and ownership control in a hierarchic, in a tyrannical system, like a business. Business is a tyranny. Okay, it's like a Soviet Union. It's got control from the top. If you're in the middle, you take orders from above and you hand them down below. At the very bottom, you're allowed to rent yourself to it. Now, it's not obvious why things have to work like that. It could be democratically controlled by the participant. No owners, no managers, just those who participate. And in fact, there could be a broader participation. So it's somewhere. It's in a community. And the community should have some say in it. So you have community participation and participation on the part of the workforce. That's perfectly feasible. In fact, there are plenty of ideas that have been around like that for a long time, and some of them have been worked out. So is the question that we have to ask ourselves is, well, is that a possible alternative? Sure it is. Is it the kind of possible alternative we want to work for? If it is, it would dismantle capitalism. But we have to decide, is that what we want, or is that what other people want? I mean, is that what the workers in the plant want? My guess is that most people are ready for it this minute, and that if the opportunity arises, they'd leap at it. I mean, I don't think they need us to encourage them. It's just that the options aren't there. For an individual, for people in a plant to do it means taking a very serious risk. So the first risk will be that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or whatever the counterpart is will come in and beat them, you know. That's a risk. And unless they have community support, they're not going to get away with it. So it's a struggle. That's class struggle. But if you ask, you know, if you talk to workers in a plant, I don't think many of them would find this very hard to understand, that they ought to run it themselves. I mean, they can understand it as much as the, you know, factory girls in Lowell in 1860. I think that's just below the surface in all groups that I've ever had anything to do with.
And that's the voice of Noam Chomsky in an interview that is featured in a brand new DVD called The Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky on the World. It's a collection of excerpts from his interviews and speeches over the years on a huge variety of issues. I mean, this is like the Chomsky reader, but for somebody who has a shorter attention span and wants to actually watch him on DVD instead of read him. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. 818-985-KPFK. Alan?
Well, I actually want to talk about how, you know, this is someone who literally changed the course of both Sonali and mine's life. It has this kind of influence. It has this kind of impact. You know, I had I've had my politics since I was about 13, and I started caring as much about political economy as I did soccer. And that's as much about as soccer. But again, I was in my 30s, and just my beginning of my 30s, and I got this video out of the library, Manufacturing Consent, and it changed the whole course of the direction of my life. Chomsky is that transformational a figure. And this, again, it's just so intense to watch him, especially in this election cycle, because, you know, we are very caught up in the sort of pragmatics of the moment. So many activists, so many progressives that I know are. Some aren't, but I would say the vast majority are.
And a lot are also caught up in the charisma of Obama. I mean, that's true.
And Noam Chomsky, you can check it out on Common Dreams. Just do a search for Chomsky. You can see that he has basically endorsed voting for Barack Obama in swing states.
He actually put it in interesting way. He said, vote against McCain.
Against McCain.
Before he said, vote for Obama.
And then have no illusions about what you'll get from Obama. And that made a very, very powerful declaration about the difference between the two parties. In fact, again, that's what he does here over and over again in this DVD, subjects where, you know, people answer these things in the moment. But Chomsky somehow has that capacity. He's so centered that, and his mind is so centered, that he always looks at things that they have relevance for immediacy, but it also takes in the long context of things. And again, the insight is tremendous. This is a marvelous DVD, and again, a gentleman, Noam Chomsky, who certainly changed the course of the direction of my life.
Entering his 80th year in December, Noam Chomsky, available on this brand new DVD. This DVD spans his work and all of its various aspects of it. And, you know, we heard him talk in this hour already about capitalism, about the economy. We heard him talk about democracy and elections. I want to go back to the early part of the DVD, which has Chomsky talking about his own background. Where did he come from? Who he is? What his family's background is? And he says he had, you know, he talks about in this excerpt from the DVD, the power of a working class education. As you're listening, the Chomsky Sessions for a pledge of just $100, a brand new DVD that we are introducing for the first time on Uprising, just days before the fund drive ends at 818-985-5735. Here's Noam Chomsky.
When I grew up, as a kid, most of my family was working class, Jewish working class in New York. A lot of them never went to school, but they were very educated. There were workers' education programs. There were all sorts of other groupings. A lot of them around the left parties, Communist Party, whatever you think about it, did run worker education programs and you know, summer camps for unemployed seamstresses and things like this, and people ended up you know, as educated as anyone I ever met at Harvard, even though some of them never went past fourth grade. And a lot of activists at that time were involved in worker education. In fact, a lot of well-known scientists were. I mean, those were the years when people were writing books like, I don't know if you've ever seen The Mathematics for the Millions, which was a book written by a good mathematician for people who never had any education. And they learned from it. And it was, you know, part of being on the left at that time was bringing what we call high culture, you know, science, mathematics, the arts, and so on, to people who didn't have the advantages of the privileges of going through school. Going through school then meant even maybe getting to fourth grade. And it could certainly be done. It ends up, and people want it. You know, they like it. They participate in it. They go on by themselves. And those of us, all of us, who are privileged, one of the responsibilities is to help people do this for themselves.
And that is Noam Chomsky talking about working class education. And he's right here on KPFK. Cut out of the mainstream media, by the way. I mean, you don't hear, you never read him in the New York Times. You never, never hear him on NPR, and certainly, of course, not on any of the other commercial radio stations. But Pacifica Radio gives a, you know, offers a space for Noam Chomsky and his words, his thoughts. And this is a person who is the eighth most cited source on the planet. I mean, living or dead, the eighth most cited source on the planet. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. The Chomsky Sessions on DVD, brand new DVD, available for a pledge of $100. We've got just a few days left in this fund drive. Very excited that we're able to raise money using this kind of material, that we're able to offer you this really thought-provoking information and material, you know, as a way to remind you of how important this media outlet is. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. 818-985-5735.
Yeah, I once saw a chart on InfoShop where they sort of ranked the people in terms of citations in the mainstream media. And throughout the decades, the American president would always jump to the top of the list. In terms of citations, and you'd see, like, you know, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, they'd all jump up there, and Noam Chomsky would remain steady, you know, with the Bible and other citations, and he would and the presidents would always come up, drop down, and steady was Noam Chomsky throughout the last three decades in terms of the number of citations. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. This I really was. Very, very happy about this DVD because it has so much dimension. It has him speaking at events. It has him speaking at sort of small coffee events, large lectures, and then in unique sit-down interviews with the filmmakers. And it has an element on the media critique. Has an element which talks about alternatives to capitalism, as we heard. Goes back and looks at his background and how the kind of educational environment he was raised in, which really is such a reminder and also very relevant to what we do try to do here at KPFK. We do try to provide information that is a lot like sort of an on-air university. Certain of our shows, certainly that's an element of what you hear on Uprising. We try to be in that tradition of bringing educational issues, or rather just information and the most intelligent insight we possibly can provide about the society we live in to you out there. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Noam Chomsky, certainly the perfect kind of thing to get as you support KPFK as a thank you, as you become a listener sponsor to KPFK. 818-985-5735 for $100, this brand new DVD, The Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky on the World.
And I know many of you listeners sometimes wait till the end of the fund drive to see what thank you gifts we're offering and then, you know, try to get the best thank you gift for your donation. That's totally fine. This is it for the new documentaries, at least on Uprising, that we're offering. And so don't wait any longer. A lot of the other material you might have heard repeated during the fund drive. It's, you know, very popular material. It's really good material. But the Noam Chomsky stuff, this is brand new, and this is going to be one of our last, if not our last, for the station, new thank you gift that we're offering. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. 818-985-5735. Make a pledge of $100 and we'll send you Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, and again, I think it's very important to have Chomsky with you as we move past the electoral cycle. We are in such a crisis in this society. And Chomsky's ideas about the reorganization of the society are of a society and our society, and the possibilities that are not put forward within the mainstream are here in this material. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK.
And let's take a listen to Noam Chomsky talking about the media.
I mean, the period when the press was most free was about the mid-19th century. I mean, at that time, just keeping to say England and the United States, the two cases that have been studied. I imagine it's the same elsewhere. In the mid-19th century, there was a very lively, popular press, very widely read by, you know, working people, by everyone, that, you know, much reached far beyond the commercial media at the time. It was very diverse. It represented, you know, reflected public interest and public concerns, and was very popular. In Britain, they tried to close it down by censorship of various kinds, but that didn't work. There were too many ways to avoid it. And it was finally understood that the way to eliminate it was by advertising, by reliance on advertising and by concentration of capital. So just through the effect of reliance on advertising, which was then just a, you know, kind of beginning, like around a century ago, and concentration of capital, they realized that over time they could marginalize the independent popular press, which couldn't get the advertising, of course, because advertisers don't like what they were saying, and didn't have the capital. And it took a long time. So in England, it was actually up until about 40 years ago, still the case 40 years ago, that the main newspaper in England, the Daily Herald, was a kind of labor-oriented social democratic newspaper, very popular. You know, everybody had outsold all the others. The Mirror, which was the main tabloid, was the same kind of leftist paper, popular paper. But they kind of succumbed to advertising pressure and capital control. The United States happened a bit earlier, but it was the same process. And advertising is, it's part of a much bigger industry. Advertising is part of the public relations industry, which is a huge industry. And it developed very consciously around the First World War in the two most democratic countries, England and the United States. And there's a good reason for it. They were coming to as the countries were becoming more free, that just through popular struggle and people were winning the franchise and you couldn't shut them up anymore by force, it was understood that you're going to have to control people by controlling opinion and attitudes because we can't rely on force anymore. And the control of opinion and attitudes means, there was actually a phrase for it. This was the time when what was called scientific management of work was becoming a big issue, Taylorite management, you know, Ford and all that stuff. It was also understood you want to not only control very closely the lives of people in their work time, but also you have to control them in their off-work time. And what you have to do is turn them into passive, obedient consumers who don't pay, you know, don't try to get out of our hair, basically. Pay attention to what were called the superficial things of life, like fashionable consumption. You get them trapped into consumerism, isolated from one another, atomized, control their beliefs. That's where notions like manufacture of consent come from right after this First World War. And out of this came huge industries. And advertising is a large part of it, but it of course affects the media enormously. I mean, if any of you are, you know, if you watch television, for example, take say television. When you turn on the television set, the corporation doesn't make any money, right? Like you don't pay them when you turn it on, unless it's cable. But they do. So why do they do it? Well, they do it because of the advertising. So the resources and the creativity and the effort and so on in the whole television industry goes into advertising. In fact, within the television industry, there are words called content and fill. Like a program has content and a program has fill. The content is the advertising. The fill is the car chase that's in there to keep you watching until the next ad comes along. And all the effort, of course, goes into the advertising. And the fill has first of all, it's to keep your interest enough so you watch the advertising, but the advertising is there for a purpose. I mean, it's to turn people into creatures whose only concern in life is to max out their 5 credit cards and not to pay attention to what's going on in the world and let the rich, powerful guys do what they want without interference. And for the more educated sectors, you know, folks like us, it's to make sure that they have the right beliefs. So there, that's the elite media, you know, instill the right beliefs. Actually, that's what universities are for, too. Schools, universities, media. So that's not so much advertising control in that case as, you know, just the general indoctrination. But the scale of this is incredible. I mean, there's what's called marketing, which is just manipulation and control, and is concerned very specifically with off-job control of people's lives, much like the on-job control in scientific management. It's estimated to be about one-sixth of gross domestic product in the United States, which is maybe $1 or $2 trillion a year. It doesn't contribute to economic efficiency or anything. It contributes to control and domination. That's why, when I watch television with my 2-year-old grandchildren, you know, they're already being inundated by a flood of stuff to buy this and buy that and get your mother to buy you this and so on and so forth. And that's got to be what life's about.
Noam Chomsky on the mainstream media, and of course his critique is more relevant than ever today as our mainstream media gets more and more consolidated. And he's so right about what the mainstream media wants you to do, which is buy this and buy that, things that you don't need. Well, here at KPFK, we want you to invest in Pacifica. Very direct. It's essentially, this is it. This is our media institution, the media institution of the movement, of grassroots progressive movements. For a pledge of $100, we want to send you this DVD, brand new DVD, called The Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky on the World, available for a pledge of $100. We've had a steady stream of callers this hour, and we need to hear from many more of you.
You know, what Chomsky says there about the fill and the content in the mainstream media, we do not do our regular programming, which, of course, have no commercial interruptions. We have no corporate sponsorship. We're not trying to sell you anything here. We don't do those things just so that we can keep your attention until fund drive. That's not the way we work here. We try to get these fund drives over as fast as possible so that we can return to the content, so that we can have the community voices that we bring to you every day on KPFK that you hear nowhere else back to the radio. That's what our goal and our drive is here. It is singular. We want to bring you the best information we can to help you understand what is, in fact, both a very complex society that we live in and also something where, you know, some of the truths and realities aren't that hard to understand. They're just thoroughly obfuscated elsewhere. So we want to try to bring that kind of clarity to you as best as we can with guests who are able to do that every day. That's what we try to do here in Political Public Affairs. It is an absolute inversion of the corporate media structure. We are uninfluenced by anyone trying to sell you products here. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We want these fund drives to end as fast as possible, and the way that you can help out by becoming a listener sponsor right now is calling 818-985-5735, and for a $100 pledge, pick up this fantastic DVD, The Noam Chomsky on the World, The Noam Chomsky Sessions.
818-985-KPFK. That's the number to call. And what does this DVD cover in terms of material? It covers Noam Chomsky's own background. He talks about activism. He talks about capitalism and the economy. He talks about democracy and elections, the freedom of the press and the mainstream media, international solidarity, Latin America, the United States, Cuba, and the neoliberal system. Talks about ecological warfare, and particularly in reference to states like Colombia. He talks about 9/11 and terrorism. We'll hear about those excerpts in just a moment right now. He talks about Bertrand Russell.
Yeah, great stuff about Russell.
So much information. The right. 60s, including a reference to the Weathermen, then became the Weather Underground, which is so much in the news these days. And this is the way in which the McCain campaign is, of course, trying to link Barack Obama to accusations of terrorism. I mean, it's farcical the way in which this campaign is running. Bill Ayers, of course, a former Weather Underground co-founder, who once had a minor political event for Obama's senatorial career, and now the McCain campaign is putting out these automated calls linking Barack Obama to Bill Ayers and domestic terrorism. So I want to play an excerpt of what Noam Chomsky says about terrorism and the definition of terrorism, but we have three callers on the line right now, and I want to hear from many, many more of you. This should be our most popular thank you gift. This is Noam Chomsky on a variety of issues. If you've always wanted to know about what Chomsky says, if you're someone who's heard the name Noam Chomsky bandied about and thought, well, you know, I I'd have to read too much. It would take me too much time to acquaint myself with his words. This is the DVD for you. It's a wonderful collection of Noam Chomsky on a huge variety of issues, and it's available for a pledge of just $100 right now as we're wrapping up our fund drive with just a few days left to go and just 20 minutes in this hour. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. We have four callers on the line. I'd love to see four more before we go back to this DVD, The Chomsky Sessions.
818-985-5735 for a $100 pledge of support. Pick up The Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky on the World. We are entering into an incredibly turbulent time, and we should not lose sight. There's possibility in this time of turbulence, even in terms of the American history, where capitalism has had such a strong hold on the society. A more humanist reorganization of capitalism took place when, in the crisis of the Great Depression. Maybe something like that can occur now, or something even more. People want to have freedom. They want to have control over their lives. They want to do unalienated labor. Noam Chomsky never loses. When they do labor, they want to do unalienated labor. They want to have unalienated lives. 818-985-5735. Those are the type of things Chomsky never loses sight of. Unlike so many other political commentators, radical or otherwise, Chomsky has such clarity in his understanding that humanity can reorganize society for the betterment of all people. 818-985-5735 for a $100 pledge of support. Pick up this brand new DVD, The Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky on the World.
And really, for all you Chomsky fans out there, maybe you have every book he's ever written, every documentary he's ever been featured in. This is definitely one for your collection. I know I'm going to be getting a copy and adding it to my collection of Noam Chomsky. And Noam Chomsky is known throughout the world as the foremost American political critic. You can read him in mainstream newspapers all over the world. Alan, when I was visiting the United Arab Emirates, where I was born and raised, my family still lives there, and read the mainstream newspaper that I've been reading since I was a kid, that my family has had subscribed to, the Khalij Times, there in the op-ed pages, an op-ed by Noam Chomsky. And, Arabs in the United Arab Emirates and immigrant communities like the one I'm from read him on a regular basis. His critique of the one-party system, as he calls it, in the United States appeared not in the New York Times, but in the Irish Times. It's pathetic how Americans are deprived of his analysis. Why? Because it could be so dangerous to the fabric of this established order here in the United States. Well, KPFK and Pacifica proudly present Noam Chomsky. Here's him talking about the definition of terrorism.
We should be careful when we use the phrase war on terrorism to remember that the term terrorism is used in a very narrow technical sense. It's referring to a very small part of terrorism, namely the terrorism that they carry out against us, but not the much worse terrorism that we carry out against them. So if you use the term, remember the special usage. But the so-called war on terror, there are people who want it to be a war against Muslims. I mean, I'm sure that's Osama bin Laden's fondest dream. If he could turn it into a war against Muslims, he'd have won. Then you get the Muslim world fighting the West, and it'll be a battle to the end of days. And I'm sure ultra-right Christian fundamentalists want the same thing. It's one of the reasons they support the extremist right in Israel. So, yeah, there are people who would like that to turn out, but I'm sure that the guys planning it in Washington don't. I mean, that'd be the craziest thing for them to even think about. That's why they tossed North Korea into the axis of evil. What's North Korea got to do with Iran and Iraq? I mean, I got more to do with them. But North Korea is not Muslim, so if you throw that in, it sort of makes it look as if it's not a worry. And it isn't. I mean, they're perfectly happy to deal with the most populous Muslim state in the world, Indonesia, was a very close U.S. ally as long as it was being run by a guy who's identical to Saddam Hussein, who took power with a huge massacre, killing maybe a million people, greeted by complete euphoria in the United States and Canada and England, because he got rid of the main popular party of the poor peasants, and opened the place up to Western exploitation. And it didn't matter that it was Islamic. Okay, great. We run it, and we get the resources. It's run by a murderous thug. What's the problem? The most reactionary, the most fundamentalist Arab state in the world, Saudi Arabia, has been a U.S. client ever since its founding. and you can run through the list. So there's no war against Islam. In fact, the U.S. is quite ecumenical. In the 1980s, the wars in Central America were largely fought against the Catholic Church. You know, that's not a war of civilization between the U.S. and Catholicism. It's just the Church had made a grievous error. You know, they turned toward the preferential option for the poor. I mean, priests were organizing peasants and that kind of stuff. So you got to slaughter them. Just, you know, not a, but, you know, it wasn't Muslims.
And that is Professor Noam Chomsky. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. Here he talked about the definition of terrorism in the Chomsky sessions. Noam Chomsky on the world. We've had a large number of people calling in right now. If you've got a busy signal, there are lines that have opened up right now, and you can call us and make your pledge for $100 for the Chomsky sessions. 818-985-KPFK. If we can get a lot more of you calling, we'll play more Chomsky. Alan?
Noam Chomsky on the world, the Chomsky sessions, one of the most respected intellectuals of the 20th century. Noam Chomsky has had a long and prolific career as a linguist, philosopher, and political activist. Undoubtedly, though, he is best known as the quintessential American dissident. This is a brand new DVD, Noam Chomsky on the world, the Chomsky sessions. Gabrielle and Sonali have made an arrangement for it to be available for us even before it's available to anybody through purchasing it out in the marketplace. So this is a special arrangement for KPFK, Noam Chomsky in the World of Chomsky Sessions, the perfect complement to being a listener sponsor at KPFK for a $100 pledge of support.
So it's brand new. I mean, folks, this is hot off the presses. That's what we strive so hard, work so hard to bring you this information, bring you these fabulous, exclusive thank you gifts. You get to be among the first people in the country to get your hands on many, many of these documentaries and DVDs and books that we arrange for you. Be the envy of your friends. We have 7 callers on the line right now. If we can get a few more, just a couple more. I want to play for you an excerpt of an interview that Noam Chomsky did about 9/11 and its impact on the world. But let's hear from a few more of you calling. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. 818-985-5735. I mean, if you look at the discourse that you read in the mainstream media about the elections and then hear what Noam Chomsky has to say and the difference in the discourse, the different level of discourse, I think you really understand how dangerous Noam Chomsky is to the media elite who really have outright censored him, outright shut him out. For a person of his caliber, the number of publications he has, the way, you know, the seriousness with which he is taken around the world, his credentials are impeccable, more impeccable than any other living foreign policy and domestic policy critic, and yet he cannot get into the New York Times. Why? You'll find out when you listen to this DVD and watch it. 818-985-5735.
Now, the phone lines are full a few moments ago. Right now, I know there are 3 lines available, so if you call 818-985-5735, you can help us end this fund drive. You can help us return to our regular programming and get this fantastic DVD, the perfect complement to becoming a listener sponsor, because Noam Chomsky, again, pretty much influenced my life to such a great degree. He's why I'm here working at KPFK. So he's a seminal voice in the history of Pacifica. Pacifica's been around 50 years. Noam Chomsky, for the past 4 decades, has been one of the leading intellectuals and critical voices, now over 4 decades since he became a prominent public dissident when it relates to U.S. foreign policy.
And Pacifica has followed Noam Chomsky through the earliest parts of his career, all the way from when he was an activist in the 70s against the Vietnam War. He turns 80 this December. Let's take a listen to what Noam Chomsky said about the impact of 9/11. Now, remember, after 9/11, Chomsky's very short, concise book, simply called 9/11, spent 7 weeks on the New York Times extended bestsellers list. This is what Noam Chomsky has to say about the impact of this terrorist event.
September 11th, it was immediately predicted, and now we can look back and see that the prediction was correct, that every repressive force in the world would take it as a window of opportunity to extend what they were doing. So, for example, the Russians took it as an opportunity to extend the attack in Chechnya, pretending that it's a war on terror, and now with the authorization of Washington. The Chinese did the same in Western China. Indonesia did the same in Aceh, Israel and the occupied territories, and so on down the list. Furthermore, just about every government used it as an opportunity to try to impose greater discipline on their own populations. These are just continuations of tendencies that are already in process, using this kind of opportunity to escalate it. And that was predictable, and of course it's happened. September 11th opened a lot of people's eyes. I mean, the United States in particular is an extremely insular country. I mean, nobody knows anything about the outside world. The only thing anyone knows about Canada is that the health system is a shambles and that the Social Security system doesn't work, and if anybody wants to get their sprained ankle fixed, they have to come to the United States and so on. That's the only thing anybody knows. And that's approximately what they know about any other country. So I happened to be in Sweden a couple of weeks ago giving talks, and the New York Times, I have to thank them for this, sent one of their chief correspondents to Sweden to write an article on Sweden, which I could then use as an illustration of how the press works. So you can predict that the only article that will ever appear about Sweden is everybody commits suicide or, the system's breaking down or something like that. And this article was about how nobody in Sweden works because they got this crazy welfare system. So people just say, I'm sick, and they don't go to work, and therefore the whole country's collapsing and so on. I mean, that's approximately what people know about the outside world. If you ask people where France is, probably half the population would put it in Africa. But September 11th did change that. I mean, it made lots of people recognize we better pay some attention to the world and to what the United States is doing in it. And it just opened a lot of minds.
818-985-5735 is the number to call. You heard that voice. It's very recognizable, Noam Chomsky. If you've just tuned in late this hour, we've got a brand new documentary, DVD rather, collections of his interviews and speeches over the years on a huge variety of issues. It's called simply The Chomsky Sessions. Noam Chomsky on the World, available for a pledge of $100 at 818-985-KPFK. As we begin wrapping up this fund drive with just days to go, we need to raise $1 million before the end of the fund drive. We are three quarters of the way through almost, and we really need your help to do it. We had a number of callers on the line right now. We knew this was going to be a very popular thank you gift. We were so excited when we first found it. My producer, Gabriel, really takes the credit for discovering this documentary, this DVD, and making the arrangements for getting it to you, the listener, before anybody else. You get to pre-order it before anybody in the country. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. We have one caller on the line left right now, and we need to hear from many more of you. And if we do, then thank you for that call. We want to play you an excerpt of another part of this DVD where Chomsky talks about activists in a time of war. We are still in a state of war, although many of us now have forgotten because the mainstream media isn't covering it, that there are still two wars we're engaged in. 818-985-KPFK is the number. As we have less than 2 weeks left in this election, so important that we hear Noam Chomsky's voice and words. No matter who wins on November 4th, this DVD is going to be crucial for you, especially if you're a Chomsky fan or if you're a Chomsky novice. He is, his words, his reflections, his thoughts, his ideas, as he enters his 80th year, are going to be more salient than ever, more relevant than ever before. 818-985-KPFK. Alan?
If you have a relative who's in university right now, or just during the holiday season, you're there with the family, you actually want to throw some real education at people, throw the Chomsky Sessions onto your DVD player, and you'll hear the things that kids should be thinking about and hearing when they're at university, but they don't. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We here really want to return back to our regular programming here, and you can help us do that. We got to do that in the next few days. Wrap this up. So if anybody can get, maybe pick up 10 of these, distribute them to your friends.
That's a really good idea.
$1,000 pledge. We need anything that you can give KPFK, because we got to wrap up this fund drive and return to our regular programming. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. For just a $100 pledge to KPFK, that is like 27 cents a day across a year-long membership. Become a listener sponsor and pick up the Chomsky Sessions, Noam Chomsky and the World.
That's a really, really great idea, Alan, that you threw out there. If somebody can afford $1,000, we'll send you 10 copies of this DVD. It'll make wonderful holiday gifts to you and yourself and your family and friends. This is like the Chomsky Reader, except on DVD, on video. It is such a fantastic, comprehensive collection of Noam Chomsky about activism, the media, India, about democracy, about economy, about Latin America, about Iraq, about the ecology, you know, the environment, about terrorism, international solidarity, all of these issues that this DVD covers. We have 5 minutes left in the hour, and I'd love to play you an excerpt. Can we just get two more callers calling in? If you can call in, particularly if you can make a large donation, we want to wrap up this fund drive. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. Don't wait any longer. The Chomsky Sessions, yours for a pledge of $100. Break it up into installments if you can't afford it all at once. But whatever you do, it'll just take 2 minutes. When you make that phone call, a volunteer will pick up the phone. Thank you for that call. A volunteer will pick up the phone, take your credit card number, get your name and address, and we don't share your information with anybody else, by the way. And that's it. You're done in just less than 2 minutes. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. 818-985-5735. Let's take a listen to one more tiny clip from what Noam Chomsky says.
The jingoist fanaticism in the First World War is hard to describe. I mean, in the United States, which was kind of like barely involved, I mean, the Boston Symphony Orchestra couldn't play Beethoven. You know, it was just fanatic hysteria and incredible repression. I mean, again, not like a dictatorship, military dictatorship, but what actually happened is unbelievable. It continued after the war. It was largely due to the liberals. This is not Joe McCarthy. This is Woodrow Wilson, liberal intellectuals, the Republic Circle, John Dewey Circle, and so on. Dewey later was sorry about it, but not most of them. I'll take, say, Eugene Debs. He was the leading figure in the American labor movement, presidential candidate, did quite well, Socialist Party. He made a speech in, I guess it was 1918, in which he advised, he talked to working people about what wars are like, and he was right. He said wars are not fought in the interests of poor and working people. They're fought in the interests of the rich and powerful. Sometimes maybe you want to be part of it, sometimes not, but you have a legal right to pay attention, to pursue within a certain range of course of action. You should think about it. Woodrow Wilson tossed him in jail. He stayed there. In 1920, I think it was, there was a post-war amnesty, and Wilson amnestied virtually everybody, but not Debs, who he had particular hatred for. In fact, Debs was finally amnestied by Warren Harding, the ultra-right-wing Republican who came later. Well, that's one example, and by far from the most extreme. What the reaction was in England, I really haven't studied, so I don't know, but I suspect it was about the same to Russell.
And that is Noam Chomsky. We're very sorry we have to fade down his voice because we're nearly out of time. If you're calling and getting a busy signal, we are maxed out right now. Mm-hmm. Every single line is full. Alan?
I just think that three things to say quick. Call right now, 818-985-5735. Pick up the Chomsky Sessions for $100. Or, you know, call now and get a large donation. People in the phone room will set you up with whatever you've heard over KPFK if you want to pick it up as a thank you gift. Two very things quick. The markets tumbled across Asia and Europe, and they are doing so on Wall Street. We want to return to covering that. We also want to let you know about community events, and here's one coming up tomorrow night. It's at the Unurban Coffee House at Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. That's in Santa Monica. It's a screening of the brand-new film Red State Road Trip 2. It's an opportunity to meet other activists at this moment of intense political and economic drama. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We have about three lines open. Let's see those fill up. You probably got a busy signal a second ago. For a $100 pledge of support, the Chomsky Sessions, what you're hearing, the brilliance of Noam Chomsky delivered to you on DVD. Share it with your friends and family, and if you can give more, please do so. 818-985-5735. $100 for the Chomsky Sessions. Give more if you can and get whatever they have there in the phone room to offer.
And I know that there are some Chomsky fans among several of our Hollywood listeners, particularly those with a little extra cash. And if you love Noam Chomsky or a big Noam Chomsky fan, here's how you can support the station. Call us at 818-985-5735. Make a $1,000 or $2,000 pledge. We'll send you 10 or 20 copies of this DVD. You can pass them out to your friends. And it's very, very important. You can tell them about KPFK as well. We are nearly out of time for Sonali's subversive thought for the day. Of course, Noam Chomsky is who I'm going to quote today. He said once, to some degree, it matters who's in office. But it matters much more how much pressure they're under from the public. That's Noam Chomsky, and that's an Ali Subversive Thought for the day. You've been listening to Uprising. Please keep those calls coming in. If you get a busy signal, call back. Just wait a few minutes and call back. You can also pledge online at kpfk.org. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. Alan Minsky, our senior producer here at KPFK. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kohatkar. Thanks so much for listening. Keep those calls coming in. A few lines just opened up.